Off the Ball Breakfast, Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Mbappe, and look, I've been a long skeptic of Mbappe. I thought, you know, because he had it too easy.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Yes, you're welcome to the LOI Pod here on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle here with the busiest men in football show business. Vinnie Perth, August, Gareth McLean, Conas Atatu. I'm doing it for shocking the Gaelga lads. Vinny didn't know what I said there. He's clueless. That's disgraceful. Anyway, lads, Waterford top of the SSE Electricity Premier Division after earning back-to-back wins in the first doubleheader weekend. More on Keith Long's Blues shortly. Drogheda United champions at Shelburne and Galway United are the only unbeaten teams left and are second, third and fifth respectively. But let's start with a look in the bottom half of the table and the Dublin rivals who started off with that showpiece affair on Lansdowne Road. Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers. Bows in seventh on 3 points and the Hoops bottom with a point. Alan Reynolds starting to come under a bit of pressure at Daly Mount Park. I was there on Monday night myself. Three consecutive defeats. Is it fair, Gareth, he's under pressure at this stage?
I don't like seeing managers under pressure this early in the season. It happened with Decky the year before. If you're going to start with a manager, you've got to give him time. You've got to give him 10, 15 games. I mean, obviously the showpiece match against his bitter rivals, he won 1-0. I was obviously at the Brandywell when they were beat 1-0. There was nothing in the game. Michael Duffy doesn't score the free kick. It ends up a 0-0. It was bad conditions. Two teams cancelled each other out. There was enough in the game for me to say Bows are better than they were last year. To me, if you look at them on paper, the recruitment has been excellent. I like their balance of their team. Maybe they've got a few issues that we'll talk about at left back and in selections and left foot and right foot. But to me, to say that Alan Reynolds and Stevie O'Donnell should be under pressure at this stage is not accurate. Now, do they need to start getting results? Absolutely. It's a results game, but it's too early for me.
Yeah. Vinny, just on look at maybe the issues with the manager, because I do think there's other things going on aside from that. But look, two of the things I thought last year were you know, in the negative column for Alan Reynolds and the Bohemians team was the set-piece defending. It was poor. And we've seen already this season there's goals that come, not maybe directly from set-pieces, but from the recycled balls coming back in. And also this thing of players out of position. We saw John Mountney again played at left-back. Played well there against Shamrock Rovers, you could argue, in the first game of the season. But looking at him on Monday night, and I think Drogheda United were alive to the problem and they were kind of trying to keep him on his left foot and he had to keep coming inside on his right, and you've lost that balance in the team then. And he tried a couple of times to make those little chips down the left-hand side and coughed up possession on both occasions. You've got Keane Best there from Preston on loan. Granted, inexperienced, he's 19, but he's played 12 games in the Championship, so there's something he's got there. So, you know, with the set-piece defending first, maybe, Vinny, what's your own thoughts?
Yeah, I think I think it's a mixture of a lot of things. A lot of new players. Look, I think it's important to say on paper, Gareth just touched on it. Look at Ball's bench as well, like Adam McDonald, James Clark, who isn't playing a lot of football at the moment. That's a surprise. Adam McDonald was very good for them, gave them legs last year. Keith Buckley on the bench, as you said, and then they've got a couple of young lads on loan and stuff that we don't know loads about, Best being one. But like when I look at someone like Mount, our left back, like for me, seeing John at right back was a struggle for my own brain to see that, because of the way, you know, I obviously worked with John for 7-8 years. But to see him at left back, and what you find is, Gareth to tell you this, particularly as players, is it's like sticking a centre half up front. It can go well for him for a game or two, but it's always the third or fourth game they get caught out and it just doesn't work for you. And it looks like he's played a game too many at left back for me. The other thing they're struggling to do is, for whatever reason, whether it's the manager's fault, whatever, I don't know, and it'd be wrong to speculate too much, but they're not building a team, Stephen. And when you build a good team, bit of togetherness, cohesion, around, you stop conceding those sloppy set pieces, I feel, and doesn't like. I'm a little bit. I don't know where I fall on Bohemians. I think for number, I think Bohemians should be year in year, and we can all have a year or two out. They should be minimum top four. Minimum top four. That's a big bar. That's a. I think the people will pretend it's not. But I think the budget is close to a top four budget. It's there, thereabouts. Oh, for me, there's no excuse for not being a little bit higher up the league. I think they should be doing a lot better than where they are. So whoever has questions to answer that, that's their own business. But I'd be really disappointed as a Balls fan for where they are now. And they need to build a team and a bit of togetherness.
Yeah, Gareth. Yeah. Go on, Gareth.
Yeah, just on the Keane Best, I've watched him live in the Brandywell, and I thought he was one of Bo's best players. The balance he gave, he's energetic, and he's not a bad defender as well, and he's 19. He put in three unbelievable crosses, and it looked like Bo's best chance of scoring was coming from Hammett left back, and the balance he gives Bo's. So I would have expected, like taking Mountney or Keane Best at home to Drogheda, that your two fullbacks playing against a back five was going to be two of your most important positions, because they were going to have most of the ball. So I would have expected balance wise deliveries from left hand side, feeding the ball to the left winger was going to be imperative. I'm very surprised with that selection. And I mentioned to you before as well, there seems to be a lot of managers that are tinkering with their teams instead of playing their best 11, and they're getting caught out. You see Rovers going down to Sligo, not playing with much creativity in the middle of the park, getting caught out. Derry going to playing against Waterford, not playing with a natural right back, resting a couple of players, supposedly resting a couple of players, not playing their strongest 11, getting turned over by Waterford. And Bowes, to me, coming up to Brandywell on a stormy night, not playing Dale Rooney and playing Rhys Brennan, who, by the way, was good on the night. But Dale Rooney knows the league. He knows what it's like going up to Brandywell, coming off of a good one in the Aviva. What needs to be done in the Brandywell to get a result? So there seems to be a lot of managers that are maybe messing with their teams a bit more, and also not respecting the opposition.
Yeah, just
on Stephen, can I say one thing, Stephen, and almost a question to you, right? Because you all know, no secret, you're a Bulls man, right? So first of all, I'm a manager, or past manager, who lost two games of football and was pillared from post to post, because I wasn't part of the establishment. That's the way it goes, right? Never picked up the phone to all these people. But so I'm not being critical of managers. I hate that, right? But I'm going to ask you a question, and for context of what I mean about where Bowles should be and where they should be striving to be, because some will turn around and go, oh, well, you know, you've got to give them time. Of course you do. You've got to give managers time. I'm talking about as a club. But what's the difference between Bohemians today and Shelbourne at the start of last season?
What's the difference between them?
Yeah. And I mean, as squads, as clubs, you could act like, I mean, I'll give you a second answer to that. For me, Bohemians are further down the line than Shelbourne are. Not in squads now because of what Shells have done over the past 2 or 3 months. But 12 months ago, Shelbourne started the season not in as good a position Bowles have started this season, I would say.
Yeah, you could argue that. Like, I suppose what's been going on off the pitch, with regards to the stadium's going to be going ahead. There's a training ground there now. The academy is on a really good footing now because they've got an academy, and that's going to be built. I suppose they will build on that over the next few years. So everything outside of the senior teams, I'm referring to men's and women's as well, because the women's team have also been underperforming over the last couple of years, and another change of manager at the start of this year as well. So it seems to be the two senior teams are the major issue with the club, and that comes down to whoever's doing the recruitment of the person who's in charge of the football. And I suppose that's Pat Fennin, really. He's the director of football there, and what the job he's doing. And I refer to the men's team in that sense, where I suppose, Pat, maybe he was waiting, I think, for the transfer window in England maybe to close at the end of January to see what would pop up then, what kind of players would be available for them to recruit. They did get a couple of players signed earlier in the transfer window. That was good to see. There was two or three players brought in and that was great. But there was another three or four that came in quite late, and that doesn't really help the manager when he wants to prepare his team for a season. And again, we're seeing a Bohemians team that doesn't look well prepared with regard to their game plan, their set piece defending and all that kind of stuff. And it was noticeable against Drogheda United. They went, you know, trying to get down the wings, maybe trying to get balls pulled back to Colly Whelan. That wasn't working. So then they were trying to put crosses in from the wing, and that wasn't working because Drogheda United are so good at defending that kind of football. And then in the second half, there was a change. Like, there was a change of players. So there was a couple of substitutions made, a bit of a change of formation, but again, it didn't work. And the only chance they created in the second half was right at the very end. Ross Tierney had a chance. He had to go a full stretch to try and hit a ball at the volley. Now, that's, I think there's so many factors that feed into those problems. I think there's the manager, his team selection isn't, as you say, Gareth, there's too much tinkering being done, players being played out of position. But I also think some of it then is that there was too much late recruitment, then that then feeds into the preparation of the team for the start of the new season. But as well as that, I think players need to look at themselves, because there was a couple of players out there, and I'll say the likes of Dawson Devoy, Ross Tierney, Dale Rooney, those players have been at the club now. They had the full pre-season. They should be ready for the season. And they were so poor on Monday night. Their passing was poor. They just weren't able to get on the ball and play as well as we know they can. And I think that's an issue as well for the manager. How does he get the best out of those players? And I do think when you take into consideration all those particular issues, I go back to what Gareth was saying, and people need to just wait a bit more. We've only had four games of the season, and for people to be calling for managers' heads now at this stage, I do think it's a little bit rash, although I do understand fans. They've only seen one win at Dalymount Park since last April. That's not good enough, so I can understand the anger, but they do maybe need to be just that little bit more patient.
Yeah, and for context, right, so just in case someone doesn't understand where I'm coming from, thinks I'm having a cheap shot, me and Pat Fannin wouldn't be the best of buddies because we were rivals for so long. I think Pat Fannin is one of the best in the business. I think it's important to say that. If I was a manager tomorrow and Pat was my director of football, I actually suggested Pat for Dundalk, even though back in the day. So that tells you. And me and him, as I said, we would have been rivals. I don't know Pat personally. So it's not, none of this is personal in any way, shape or form. I think Pat is the right man for balls. I just think they're going through a sticky path. And I think you answered the question yourself in many ways, David. Like, on paper, I think balls are good enough to be a top four side. So we've got to give people time. I agree with that. In fairness, you've got to give fans their voice as well, Stephen. Some of them are hurting because of the way it ended last year. So there hasn't, they haven't won enough games in Dalymount. That would be a concern if I was a Bulls fan. You know, at least get us wins at Dalymount. So that's where it is. But it is a bit early. And genuinely, I would love Bulls to be back in Europe, because I think if a club like Bulls are doing Europe, you're doing it right. You know, what they've done around Aviva and what they do off the pitch is exceptional. I think any league run fan want Bulls to go well.
Well, look, the Masters of Europe from an Irish perspective over the last number of years have been Shamrock Rovers. A brilliant, brilliant season for them in Europe, in the season, the European season that we're in the middle of right now. Look, are they suffering a bit of a hangover at the moment, Gareth? Like, I know there are maybe questions over their own recruitment as well. They brought in, obviously, Sean Robertson came in from Derry City as a free agent, well, formerly of Derry City, a free agent. That was a late signing for them. They've got a number of really key injuries as well. Lee Grace, Danny Mandroyu, Darren Nugent, Adam Matthews, Trevor Clark. Some of those could be back very soon. So, like, one point, bottom of the table, nobody's got to be getting too concerned about Shamrock Rovers, because they've got a brilliant head coach in Stephen Bradley. He should be able to turn it around, but is there a little bit of concern there in the long term for their season?
No, I don't think so. I mean, as you say, I mean, the success they've had over the last decade has been unbelievable. I think there is a little bit of a hangover from Europe. I mean, to ask players to keep going. I mean, I think they got 2-3 weeks off. I mean, it's not much, you know what I mean? I would be more concerned what's going to happen than maybe the last quarter of the season when the burnout really hits in. But I'm not too worried about them. They've got a good enough depth of squad. We always thought there was going to be a striker at the end of the transfer window. I thought that they would get at least one in. They've obviously gone with Robertson. I mean, Robertson's not a bad player. He didn't get in at Derry through, probably through injury and through one reason or another. Loads of talent, loads of pace. I think they need pace. I think once they get Clark back on the left-hand side, I think that is pivotal. To be able to have his pace on the left-hand side just for other teams to worry about and his quality, I think he's huge for them. But the thing about me at the weekend, and I touched on it before, is the starting lineup. Now, we're not privy to who's injuries and who's carrying knocks or anything like that. But to go with a team without the likes of McInniff, Burke, Gaffney, and Byrne on the bench, you almost needed one of them to be able to cause Sligo a problem, because it seemed like Hunnan, Healy, O'Neill, Watts and Grant along the middle, there's just not enough natural creativity there. And then Green and Noonan up front. I mean, to me, they kind of underestimated Sligo a little bit, and Sligo caught them cold, and we've seen that already this season with a number of clubs. But I'm not worried about Shamrock Rovers. I mean, they'll come good, they'll get into their groove, and they should kick on up the table. Now, it all depends how far the other teams are going to get ahead. You see now Pat's putting a couple of good results together. Shelburne have been very consistent. I mean, if they continue in this vein of form, they're going to get stretched further and further ahead. So you can't expect Shamrock Rovers to make up 12, 13 points on Pat's or Shelburne, but they need to get going soon.
Yeah, what do you think of their squad, Finny, with a look ahead to, I suppose, the next few months before the summer window opens up? Is it a bit short, do you think?
Yeah, it's short, and it's they need everybody at it and in the peak of their form. Problem is, when you see Shamrock Rovers' injury list, it's the same names keep repeating itself. I mean, Gareth's right about Clark. He's a huge loss for him, but he's been injured on and off for since he's come back from the UK. Jack Bourne has been injured on and off since, you know, for the last 18 months. Graham Bourke looks like he's struggling to play 90 minutes. Like, Graham Bourke against Mull in the second leg was European class. Mm. At times last week against Shelburne on Friday in particular, he was exceptional until, to be fair, Duffer changed the shape and made some of their players null and void. Him and McInniff were then null and void in the second half. But they looked leggy against Shelburne in the live game. Only seeing highlights of the game the other night, ran out of ideas. You cannot go into the league with a 16-year-old and two 35-year-olds as your leading light. Something has to give. The recruitment hasn't been good. And they've lost. What made them great second half of last season, particularly in Europe, was pace. Perugia, was Dara Bourne's, was Donny Kenny, and they've lost all of that pace. Haven't replaced it with any pace that I can see anywhere. So Healy's obviously, but Healy just looks like more of the same. He looks like a different version of Gary O'Neill. So I'd be really concerned for Rovers. As we know, they've got the club, the structures, everything to go and win this league. But I'd be very worried for them because, unfortunately, I hope I'm wrong, they're starting to look a little bit old as a team, you know.
Yeah, I was going to mention before we move on, just from that Sligo Rovers game, John Russell, like, he must be delighted, Gareth, to get beaten by St. Patrick's Athletic 4-3. His post-match interview, he was basically saying, look, you know, the away support were absolutely magnificent, clapped us off the field and everything, and the performance was there. They just didn't come out the right side of the results. And then he asked for the supporters to come out and back the team on the Monday night. He asked the players to show a response to that result as well. And he got it in spades. And I suppose that just maybe speaks to the popularity of John Russell, that players do, they want to play from that. You know, his captain went out and got a goal from and everything.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, not only that, when you, as a manager, when you go out and call for the home crowd to come out, it obviously transcends into the players and gives them that energy. And that's what you saw the other night. But Sligo is an outlier. Sligo is a community-based club that does incredible things. And they've almost got that GA mentality. The players, when they walk around the town, they're known to all fans and they're continuously walking around the town. They can't go anywhere. It's a wee bit like Derry when the players are living in the city. So that gives you energy as well. And that's why the showgrounds is so difficult to go up there and get a result. Nobody likes going there. I mean, we keep talking, especially me, over the last 2 years about Sligo, we're going to struggle, Sligo, we're going to struggle. That doesn't mean that they go out and put in poor performances. They mightn't have the big names that the rest of the league have. They mightn't have the big budgets. But tell you what they do have. They have commitment. They have grit. They have community. They have the players that want to play for the club week in, week out. And they've got youth as well. Conor O'Grady's doing an incredible job up there in the academy. Unbelievable. Three academy starters at the weekend beat Rovers 2-1. It's unbelievable. And it's going under like under the radar a little bit. These players aren't going on. They sign for Spurs like some clubs or they go across the water. Some of them have already gone across the water, but they're coming in and they're being very, very good League of Ireland players. So he deserves special mention, and I know that John Russell leans heavily on the academy for producing players, so it's great to see. I mean, that's why it's so important for them to put in a good year this year and not go down, because it's getting more and more difficult to get out of that first division. And then when you put in a third tier, you've got another drop as well. So John Russell, if he finishes 8th, 9th this year, he deserves massive, massive credit.
Waterford, Vinnie, top of the table. I don't think anybody expected that after 4 games. The one thing, they've scored 7 goals, which is probably no surprise. You've got strikers of the quality of Ahmed and Lonergan in there, and they've got other good attacking players and players who can create chances. But they do have experienced defenders there, the likes of Radkowski, who's been there a couple of seasons now after playing with Bowes. Obviously, Andy Boyle, who you know really well, has come into the club there as well. Darragh Leahy, won the best defenders in the league as well. So is that a bit of a concern? I know they have a keeper there on loan. He's only 20 years of age, Stephen McMullen, formerly of Warren Point. He's been over at Fleetwood Town, come back here on loan. What's going on there, do you think, defensively with Waterford?
They're very good in terms of there's a bit of experience there. Darragh Leahy, obviously, went from Bowles, I signed him to Dundalk to replace Dane Massey, and for different reasons I felt he was on his way, and it was the right player at the wrong time, in terms of that was more the club than fell on Dara. Andy Boyle, really experienced, as you said. Rakowski, they've got a good balance there in that set. They tend to play with a back three. I know the goalkeeper, Mullen, he's actually from Dundalk. I went to Fleetwood a couple of years ago to see him over there as well. I was actually visiting Fleetwood and just chatting to him. They have a lot to like about them. But ultimately, Padraig Ammon's leadership and Dominic Lonergan as well as a front two has given them, between everything about them, they've got a really good platform. And they've got a manager who knows what he's doing, and one of the most exciting players this year for me and breakout stars has been Noonan. I think he's been really, really good. He looks a real threat. It'd be interesting to see how he does over the season. But Conor Noonan has been really, really good. So everything has gone right for them. The biggest challenge I've had with a couple of Keith's Waterford teams over the last couple of years is how they finish the season. They've sort of petered out a little bit. Some of that's down to some of the loanees are moving and different things. So to achieve that, you've got to finish the season really strong, and he's got to be put pressure on Fleetwood or whoever it is to keep a hold of these loanees, to keep them in the club. But there's a lot to like for it. Like, Keith's done a very good job. I've spoken before, highly rated as a manager. And again, it's a little bit like you look at where teams are struggling. I spoke last week about Killian Bruder, and he goes and scores, right? So it's a little bit like, no, but that wasn't give myself a compliment. Trust me, it's a little bit like the Leahys of this world, Boyles, people that know what's required in the league. You need them, lads, and they mightn't be the biggest names. And the likes of Boyles, for example, like could have went got Leahy back. He could have got Boyle back. He chose to go down a different route. That's fair enough. You don't, like, clubs aren't rushing out to sign Killian Bruder, but they still know what it takes week in, week out, Friday, Monday, and pick up points. So huge amount of things to like about what Waterford are doing. And got to give Keith full credit. You know, we don't expect them to be top of the league, but if they finish the season strong, they could end up in Europe. Absolutely, you have what it takes.
Yeah, that has to be the target. I still haven't forgiven you, Vinnie, for signing Darragh Leahy, I have to say. I was gutted at the time. I could see what a brilliant, brilliant player he was. Anyway, we shall move on. Drogheda United. I just wanted to finish maybe a quick look at Drogheda as well, because we're a little bit short on time this week. I'm just interested to get both of your views on how they could fare in Europe this season, because we've seen how good this team is coached, how well this team is coached. Dara Doyle, obviously assistant there to Kevin Doherty. Dara had his own time as a manager with Longford Town. Takes all that experience to Drogheda United. Perhaps one of the manager, assistant manager, ex-manager partnerships we haven't spoken about quite a lot, maybe in the same way as we have about Stephen O'Donnell and Reynolds and Horgan and Caulfield and all those other partnerships around the league. But they've been excellent. And every time you look at Drogheda United, how well they're coached, and the players that they have, they're also getting more out of players, you feel, than the players might have given out other clubs or previous clubs, whatever the case may be. When it gets to Europe, do they have the game plan you think that could be effective?
Well, if you look at the teams that they've played so far this season, right, Pat's really struggled to break them down. The formation, the way they were coached, the foundation that they have. Then you look at Bowes, they struggled to create chances. I think Bowes had two shots on target. I think Pat's match, if my memory's mistaken, it was about four shots on target. These are teams, especially Pat's, we saw how well they did in Europe last year. These are teams that have gone and done well in Europe. So if they can't score against Drogheda and Drogheda go and play the same way in Europe, I don't see them not doing well in Europe, no matter who they come up against. The other thing is, and this is becoming, towards the end of last season, it was coming a bit of a theme, is the idea that this possession guarantees goals. I'm seeing it more and more again. I saw it in Richmond Park on Monday night when Derry played Pats. Derry had all the possession in the world. If they had played for 2 weeks, they wouldn't have scored. Pats just sat in, waited, and as soon as Pats turned the ball over, which they did in numerous times, they hit them on the counter-attack, and they were frightening. There was a couple of times it only took one pass or one touch, and they were on goal. So I don't see Drogheda struggling in Europe the way a lot of people do. I think they're going to be well set up. They're going to be well drilled. As you say, the management team has been together long enough to understand the strengths of the players and understands the strengths of each other. And they're good at challenging each other. It's not one of these management teams that are saying yes to each other. They challenge each other all the time. And that, to me, is the sign of a good management team and generally the sign of a good team. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in Europe.
You've done it in Europe, Vinny. You've coached there. What's your own kind of views on how Drogheda may approach it this year?
Yeah, the biggest challenge around Europe is I think they're set up. I think Gareth's hit the nail on the head there. For once in his life, he's been spot on. I echo everything he says.
Are you going to give yourself another compliment, Vinny?
Wait for a minute. Give me another minute. I think the challenge is in Europe is you see it. Even think of Molde beating Rovers. I know that's slightly higher level than what Drogheda will enter maybe, but it's like, you don't have to have the ball. Sometimes it's slow. You think you're winning, and then boom, it's pace does you. And Irish sides for years got cut out with somebody quick doing you or somebody switching off. They've got a lot to like. I think defensively they're set up to do really well in Europe. The biggest challenge will be, can you go and score goals at the other end on the counter-attack? So, they've done a really good job there. It's great that, you know, we hear of all the duo, you know, assistant managers get talked about as much as the managers now. So it's good that Dara Doyle gets a mention. He's done really well for them there. Special mention to Conor Kane, actually. Conor Kane, I said it, when you talk about Bruder, you talk about Leahy, you talk about Boyle. Conor Kane, it goes under the radar. He's a marauding fullback, and you cannot be paced. You cannot be fullback, wingback. You just keep going. Testing you.
That's how they got the penalty in the cup final.
He's a bundle of energy.
That's how they got the penalty in the cup final.
Yeah, he's a bundle of energy, Conor. He had a bad injury at Shells. Didn't go well from him. He probably felt, oh no, he lost out in the league title, but he got an FA Cup final, which is great for him. It's funny. I think a lot of Conor Kane. I think he's really impressed me again. I can understand why the top clubs don't want a fella like him. You think he's below that level, but I tell you what, he does a brilliant job. A lot to like about Conor Kane for that side.
Yep, and you could say the same about Shane Farrell as well. It's going to be interesting to see how he gets on with those set piece deliveries when they're playing in Europe. There's a lot to be excited about with Drogheda United, and if you're a Drogheda United supporter over the next few months, and I think, one of the most intriguing matches this weekend is their trip to take on Shelburne at Tolka Park. That is going to be a fascinating game to see how they get on. Sligo Rovers are going away to Cork City. Derry City at home to Galway United. So a nice short trip for Gareth to see his boys at the Brandywell Stadium, the Roy McBride Brandywell. Shamrock Rovers against St Patrick's Athletic in a Dublin derby as well this weekend. And Bohemians are off down the road to Alan Reynolds' former club, Waterford. There's just so many exciting games there, lads. I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to seeing you two next week as well. As you'll see, I kept my cards in the pockets. I don't like sending off coaches or giving them yellow cards. So none of that for this week, lads. We'll see how he's getting on next week. Vinny, you're lucky. You'll get off at a ticking.
I can't get my head around this new amount. There was something like 9 yellow cards handed out this weekend. It's ridiculous. But anyway, we'll talk about that. Back Alan Kelly. Alan Kelly was the man. Knew that balance between you would have played with Alan refereeing cards, wouldn't you? Like, you knew that thing about when to crack a joke because you need to have that. That's okay. But also when to be authoritarian as well. And Alan had that to be key. I think Neil Doyle has a little bit of that about him. I think he probably goes under the radar a little bit. The big thing with
Alan was respect, right? There was a big campaign when he was referees, through all the referees, that the players needed to respect the referees. But during that, and while that was happening after that, the respect wasn't coming the other way. And to be honest with you, still a few of the referees don't show the players the same respect that the players show them. Paul McLaughlin oozes it. He's the best referee because of that, because he's come from the mould of Alan Kelly, where the players feel the respect from him, and vice versa, they give the respect to the referee. But it's hard to come by, and it's almost a personality thing.
Great stuff, lads, really appreciate it. No shocking performances here this week, lads. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Cheers,
good
man.
Luck.
The LOI Pod on Off The Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.